This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So water is called the universal solvent because water dissolves more substances than any other. So if I take salt and I put it in water, and then I stir, what's going to happen? Dissolves. Is the salt still there? Yeah. And we can't see it, but we know that it's still there. This is a beautiful metaphor for us for baptism. When we are baptized, we say yes to live our lives blended into the compassion and love of Christ. We say yes to being transformed by that love. And we say yes to joining in the way of Christ, the way of love, as we walk forward with our new marching orders, our new commission, our baptismal covenant. Now, Marty and about 10 people are down in the Keys at the Celtic Festival, or we would be having baptisms today. But next week, we're going to have baptisms, and we're all going to have a chance to renew our baptismal vows. If you haven't been baptized and you would like to do that in the future, just get in touch with Marty or myself, and we'll explore the beauty of that and the meaning of it. When we are baptized, we take a vow. And we take a vow to follow, many of them actually, to follow in Christ's way. And this, just like dissolving in water, we then, as we live our lives in that way, in the development of our faith, dissolve more and more and more into being like Christ. That's really what we are to be doing. More and more in our faith development. And then when we don't, we always have that opportunity to come back and to review and to repent and then move forward and develop more and more and more. We take a commitment to respect the dignity of every human being. In all of creation, no exceptions, none. That's the hard part in our lives. No exceptions. At least doesn't mean we have to like everybody, but to respect the dignity of every human being. When Jesus rose up out of the waters, it became apparent to the people there and to the people now that hear this message that he truly was the Messiah. And a voice came from heaven. This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And it was important that he have his baptism, because that was the ritual of that day, anytime you were beginning a new ministry. And he also came to do it in all humility, to be one of us, to live and die as one of us. And then, as we know, rise again on the third day. And he then went on to do his mission of bringing good news to the poor and healing the sick. And the blind saw, the oppressed were set free, just like we heard in the book of Acts. And we then are to do the same thing. It's very easy to get caught up these days in fear or hopelessness or even loneliness. I hear this from people from time to time. And yet, this great, great longing right now in the world for harmony and for peace, because that is the stuff of which we are made. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And so what goes on that isn't of that harmony is disruptive to us, and it makes us uneasy. And so we join all people in that longing, whether we know it or not, toward peace and harmony. And we look toward that which is predictable, that which is solid in our lives, that which is stable. And that's one of the reasons I would venture to say that we come to church. The liturgy is like a womb that holds us. It's something that no matter where we go in the world, you can have this beautiful liturgy of honoring Christ and joining with other people that you may never see in your everyday life, but we are all joined as one in the body of Christ in this place. And it's something we can rely on. It's something that brings us great comfort and great joy. And that peace and harmony, the idea being is then we go out from this place and carry it into the world. It's not just for Sundays, obviously. This is to be the springboard. And yet, we see the institution of church drastically changing. The numbers in organized religion and in denominational churches is plummeting. Our numbers are down in this place, although today's an exception, I think. And so, what we have to ask ourselves, and what many, many people are saying, is that this seeming chaos is the beginning of something new. And I would invite us all to join in the rummage sale. And the reason I say rummage sale is because I'm coining a term that was given by Phyllis Tickle, who is a great historian, author, and religion professor, and she coined it in a book called The Great Emergence. How many of you are familiar with this concept? Anybody? This 500-year? Yep, a few of you. So what Phyllis writes about that is just amazing is that religion and churches in general go through this rummage sale every 500 years. And you take a look at what is working, or the Holy Spirit does, and then what isn't working, and something changes in a big way. So if you begin, then she began with the birth of Christ and Jesus coming into the world. That was the major evolutionary vanguard that changed everything in the way that we interact with God, our relationship to God, that we now have this intimacy that was unheard of before. Then 500 years later, the fall of the Roman Empire, and people had to go underground. That was the beginning of the monastic period with monasteries and priories and monks and convents. Then 500 years later, around 1054, was the great schism between the Eastern Church and the Western Church, the Greek Orthodox and the Roman Catholic Church. Huge change. And then 500 years after that, around 1500, 1600, anybody know what that was? The Reformation, yeah. Martin Luther posted those 93 theses and everything changed. The split happened away from the Protestant movement, away from the Roman Catholic Church. Now we're 500 years after that. So Phyllis Tickle's premise here makes a whole lot of sense. And this happens over many decades. It's not like just exactly at that year. So we are in the midst of something going on here. Something. Make no mistake, what doesn't change is the love and compassion of Jesus Christ throughout all of it. That's the constant. And so if we get confused, if we get down, if we get depressed about what's going on in the institutional church or look at numbers or all of that, we can just forget about that and go back to our baptismal mission. To make sure that we are so blended in Christ that that is the lens through which we see everything in the world. And it doesn't mean we do it on our own. It's less of me and more of thee, O Lord. Show me how to do that in my life and in my world. In this rummage sale, and I do believe that that is what's happening, that we all can join in, we can realize the great changes that have gone on, not only in the last 500 years, but the last 100 years. Just think about it. In the last 100 years, our understanding of science has progressed exponentially. We are culturally more diverse. We're living longer. Family units have taken a wide variety of forms. We're a global community now. We're no longer confined to just our own little boundaries. Information is accessible in any way in our pockets. Things have changed dramatically. So it makes sense that the church then would also be in this dramatic change. And our minds are changing, for better or for worse, with the way that we process our information. The kids that are born today are growing up with that kind of information. It's really something. It's been said that the jobs, I mean, we said this at a workshop many years ago with Nancy Ewing and Bill, that the jobs that our children and the people born today, the jobs that they're going to have, haven't even been invented yet. Many of those jobs. But again, the constant that we can return to, I don't believe that the institutional church is going to crumble. I think we are just going to be morphing within it to be more and more focused on human beings and how we interact with the earth. And I would venture to say also that it's going to be the earth that brings us all together globally out of necessity, because it's that emergency going on in our climate. But we come together with our baptismal covenant in love and in the compassion of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we can carry that love because we know that we are loved. And listen to this distinction. It's not that we are loved because we act like Christians or that we are acting like that to other people. It's the other way around. We act that way because we know we are loved. This isn't something we have to earn. This is grace. This is the grace of God. And so, in our everyday lives, we have the opportunity to be intentional in how we interact with one another. Very intentional. And make no mistake that it makes a difference. So, in that intention, either the small things we do or the very large effect that we might have if we're active in certain ways in the larger community. I'll give you an example of a small thing. I was at a gathering Friday night, and it was a gathering of people who were studying an article written by Brian McLaren in a journal put out by the Center for Action and Contemplation, and we all were talking about it. We're having dinner, and we were laughing and talking, and at about three-quarters of the way into the evening, somebody made a joke at the expense of a woman in the group who was a bit timid, and she didn't speak up, and then somebody else kind of joined in, and there was laughter, and I didn't say anything. I felt very uncomfortable, and I should have said something. I didn't say anything because I didn't want to, you know, embarrass the hosts. I didn't want to embarrass the people there. I didn't want to make it uncomfortable. But we do that. We go along to get along, but the joke was not acceptable. It wasn't acceptable. And so I could have said something and then left however they dealt with that to them and their Lord, but I didn't. And so next time I hope I will. And that's a very tiny thing, but it can make a huge difference in the world. So if you picked up a piece of paper when you came in and a pencil, I'd like for you to take that now. Ushers, if you don't mind bringing the basket in case somebody else needs one. I don't know if anybody on the altar got one. If you wouldn't mind getting some for the altar. You should have a piece of paper. You guys can go get it if you'd like. Piece of paper and something to write with, a strip. And while they are getting those for anybody, raise your hand if you need one. If you didn't pick one up coming in. If you could just gather the strips. Yep, keep your hands up. Strips and something to write with. So while they are passing those out, if you would be thinking about, I'm going to take you through a very brief prayer in closing. And I'd like you to be thinking about what in your life right now would you be willing to commit to for the way of love and compassion in this way, in the way of living out what you know to be right and just and true in the way of Christ. Maybe it's something you want to eliminate. Maybe it's a relationship with someone that you would love to mend. Maybe it's getting help for a big problem that you have that you've been a little bit too embarrassed to talk about with a counselor. Whatever it is, Maybe it's getting active for a cause that you believe in. Whatever that is, then write it on that strip of paper after our prayer time. And then I would invite you to come up at some point during the service. We can do it now, but also during prayers or at the end of the service. And you're going to weave them into this water down here, along with the people who did so at the 5 o'clock and the 7:45, and will at the later service. And it's also a symbol and solidarity that we do this as the body of Christ. And we hold each other up every week when we come here in doing the same thing. Okay? Wes, there's behind you, Vinny, and there's a couple. Lila, you can go to him if you'd like. Elsie, there's a few up here. Elsie, there's a couple up front. Thank you. If you already know, you can begin writing, but please do so prayerfully. Or if you don't want to write it, if it's too private between you and God, you can draw a symbol. Your intention is what we're about. Maybe it's apathy. Maybe you just don't care anymore. Maybe that's what you would be willing to take a look at. All right? Everybody got one now? Let us pray. Compassionate God in Christ, how shall I live? What would you have me eliminate in my life that is not of you? What would you have me embrace? In what way am I to live my life in compassion, even if it means being vulnerable? How shall I love in the way of Christ? And then very prayerfully, if when you are so led, you can come forward and weave them into the water. You can come forward, whoever is so led to do so. Thank you. And if you want to do it after, that's okay too. And you just weave it in like you'll see how the others did it. And then while they are doing that, if you would turn to the person next to you and let them know, if you're willing to reveal it, what it is you're willing to do and what you wrote down. So just share that amongst yourselves if you'd be willing. Taking time for both people to talk. It's a stretch. I'm asking you to get out of your comfort zone a little bit. I know that. I get that. And once you get back to your seats, if you'd be willing to share it also. And as you look upon this weaving, if you could also use it as a symbol of how we are in solidarity, not only with our congregation, but with churches and the body of Christ all over the world. Would anybody be willing to share what they wrote out loud for everybody? No? Okay, go ahead. Less anger when people cut you off on the highway. Okay. All right, what else? Yeah, John.
I'm going to try to eliminate negativity just like that.
You're going to try to eliminate negativity.
On everything.
On everything.
Try,
okay. All right, great. Who else? Yes, sir.
I'll go back to some hospice work, volunteer work.
More volunteer work.
At hospice.
All right. What else? I'm going to speak up when I hear a joke that is not okay. Who else? Cheryl.
Try not to be so judgmental.
Try not to be so judgmental and intolerant. Thank you for admitting that. I would join you in that. What else? What else? Anybody? Yeah, Lila.
Okay. The past go.
To let the past go. Forgiveness of sins.
And to be a better servant.
And to be a better servant. Thank you. That'll do it. You can come up more than a couple. Just squeeze on in there. It's beautiful. I thank you all for your intentions. And I'm hoping that you will take this now into our new year. And we're going to do a closing prayer in a moment, asking for the strength to carry this out, whatever it is, in your personal lives. And it has a powerful effect when we make this kind of an intention. It's a declaration. You can, more than one can come up. It's okay. Yep, just crowd on in there. So let us pray. We thank you, Jesus, for being willing to be the Christ for us in human form. We thank you for being willing to sacrifice all for us in your life. Teach us how to live out our intention for compassion and love in following you, in our journey with you, with ourselves, and with one another. Amen.